Oh, well, hey there, folks. Happy Friday. Thanks for spending part of your evening with us for this emergency live stream of the Mike Seibert Radio podcast. And, you know, I think I've said this every time we've done one of these live things, but like that 30-second countdown clock thing always sounds vaguely Linkin Park, like it's like off-brand, store-brand Linkin Park. I keep waiting for like the beat to drop, so I'd be like, "What?" We're not doing that here. But thanks for spending part of your Friday with us. Hope you're having getting ready for a good weekend. But as you might have seen earlier this afternoon, the schedule for TFCon LA just dropped, and we're all incredibly excited. And just want to remind you that TFCon Los Angeles 2024 is this next weekend, not this weekend, but the weekend after. That is going to be March 8th through the 10th. That's going to be at the Los Angeles Marriott Burbank Airport Hotel and Convention Center. But usually the schedule drops a week or so before the convention. It just dropped today. And while I was excited personally, selfishly, to officially get my scheduled time for when the Podcasters Roundtable that I'll be hosting is happening, that's going to be at 7 o'clock on Friday, by the way. But I was also obviously eager to learn about the other programming that was going to be happening, not just over the weekend, but specifically on Friday night, because in my email correspondence with the nice folks at TFCon, they were very specific about the time that they gave us. And I was like, okay, well, you know, we're going to do some, some Q&A and give away some prizes and, you know, kind of hoping for like one of those late night hangs, you know, not quite a Flint Dilly 5 hours of darkness situation where we're just going through the entire five potter. But like, I thought it was going to be something a little more leisurely, and they made it very clear. It's like, no, you need to get done in your allotted time. And I'm like, ooh, message received. So it made me eager for the other programming that was going to be happening. And to my surprise and delight, I saw that Friday is usually it's kind of a sleepier day for TFCon. Like, folks are getting in, getting checked in for registration. Maybe there'll be some opening remarks. Maybe there'll be a panel. Maybe there'll be two. But my friends, there is a rock power block of programming and content for TFCon LA, specifically on Friday, starting at 6 p.m. with a 3D printed Transformers panel, goes right into my panel, the Podcasters Roundtable, with a bunch of great guests. But the thing the reason why we are here now tonight, again, calling it kind of like a emergency spotlight live stream, is that there's going to be a live benefit auction for Bill Forster. That's going to be hosted by Rick Alvarez and Jim Sorensen. And to tell us more about who Bill is, for folks who may not know, Jim Sorensen is here with us to talk about the panel, some of the cool things that are going to be happening, as well as some of the other awesome programming, including some stuff for our Transformers animated fans. But without any more further ado, because I talk so very much, especially on a Friday when I'm rambling.
It's your job.
I know, right? Don't tell nobody. But returning to the Mike Seibert Radio podcast, it is Transformers archivist Jim Sorensen. Thanks for taking the time to join us tonight.
Well, thanks for inviting me about 4.5 hours ago.
It's super, super quick turnaround. It's like I saw the schedule. I'm like, oh, my God. And then I'm like, wait a sec. We're doing a live benefit auction for Bill. Let me reach out to Jim, because let's get the word out and let's talk about it.
And I'm really happy you did, because Bill is one of my best friends in the entire world. I've known him since high school, and he's just a really good, creative, gentle, caring guy. And it makes me humble that I'm able to help him in this way. So if you don't know, Bill was a co-author of mine on many of the projects that I did with IDW, and I think a couple that I did with Fun Publications as well. Notably, we worked together on the ARC books, on the Transformer, which are the animation models from the old Sunbow cartoon and the Japanese anime cartoons, the G1 ones. We worked together on the Transformers AllSpark Almanac books together, the animated guidebooks, and we worked together on the Transformers Legacy art book. And that one in particular, you know, Bill and I always worked really closely together. I tended to be more of the writing and the curating, and he tended to be more of the graphic side and the layout. And because Legacy was such a graphics heavy project, you know, he did a ton of work restoring the box art, laying it out, trying to decide how to keep a visual momentum as you flip through the book, because it's 300 pages of mostly just illustrations. There's mm-hmm. not much text context. There's a little bit, but keeping something like the box art is beautiful. It's amazing. I think a lot of people, especially the people that grew up with it in the 80s and the 90s, consider it a sort of a formative part of their interest in the Transformers franchise. But it's still hard to take 300 pages of just images and have them feel as if there's a flow. And I think he did an amazing job presenting that material in a way that does justice to it. It makes it more interesting and enhances it. So Legacy was really, Bill Forster with Jim Sorensen and not the other way around. He was the art director on the Intrepid Sea Air Space Museum, which is an aircraft carrier in New York. His day job for a long time was doing animal control in Los Angeles County. So he loves animals. Like that's his other, it's Transformers and animals and Iron Maiden. Those are the big passions of his life. So, when he was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, it really put a damper on two of those things. You know, he couldn't really do the animal control anymore. So that was his livelihood. He couldn't really do, create art anymore because his hands don't work reliably, consistently. And we opened a GoFundMe page for him, and the Transformers and the G.I. Joe communities really stepped up in a major way. You know, you open those things and you don't know if anybody is going to be interested or care. It's so hit or miss. I think we had an initial goal of like $500, which, you know, is not very much, but, every little bit helps. And I think we wound up today. I think the GoFundMe sits at, I want to say in the $8,000 range. I mean, it was a huge, huge success. It was big enough success that we sort of soft closed it. We didn't make it go away, but we stopped promoting it. We even sent out an update saying, thank you. We're good for now. Right. But that was a while ago, and time progresses. So another round of funding would be really, really helpful to him. And to that end, Rick Alvarez, who I've worked with on a number of projects and is another good friend of mine, not since high school. He's a Transformers fandom friend, but it's one of those people you see at a convention, and you grab a couple of chairs in the lobby of the hotel, and the next thing you know, it's like 3 a.m. and it's like, whoa, I got sucked into a time warp. But he had proposed to Colin that we do a benefit auction for Bill, and Colin said yes, and that's going to be the Friday 8 o'clock panel. So that's going to be right after the podcasters roundtable. So that'll be a nice flow.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for it. I've done charity auctions before at Transformers mm-hmm. conventions. I did the one, I think I've done two at TF Nation over in the United Kingdom for Mary's Meals, which is an organization that gets meals for children. And those are a lot of fun. So I'm really excited to bring some of that energy to the US, to Los Angeles. And I gotta say, we put out a call to the people, to fans and to professionals who are going to be at the show. And we've had some pretty amazing donations. RoboSen is providing one of their Bumblebee toys. And I'd done some work for RoboSen. So they had comped me a couple. So I'm going to be donating for my personal collection, the signature Optimus Rise of the Beast toys. So we've got two of the giant RoboSen toys that that talk, and then the Optimus will transform on command. So those are pretty neat. There's a G.I. Joe hardcover omnibus that just came out this year that I did a little bit of work on. So I'm going to be donating one of those. I actually had asked Mike if he thought that was a good idea, and he said, "Well, I'm going to bid on it." So
yeah. Well, because there is a bit of overlap and a Venn diagram between Joe fans and Transformers fans, and I had shared with Jim just before we went live here that I can't think of a TFCon where I haven't picked up some kind of tangential Joe thing. Like Chosen Prime usually has like all of like the hottest classified series figures. I picked up like a Tiger Force Outback from them. And
I have a giant amount of Tiger Force figures. Not any of the vehicles, but all the figures that they did in the 4-inch size.
So it's so awesome. But yeah, so it's winding back a little bit. One of my favorite things about going to TFCon in Toronto in the summertime is the giant auction that they have for Make-A-Wish. Jim, I don't know if you've attended one of those, but
I haven't attended the Toronto Con since I want to say like 2006.
Oh wow!
I mean, I had gone. I was doing consulting, so I would fly from New York to Dallas, and then I'd spend all week in Dallas and fly back to New York. But they had reversed our tickets because it was cheaper then. It's not anymore, but it would be cheaper to get a one-way ticket from New York to Dallas and then do round trip from Dallas to New York on the weekends and back, because weekend trips were cheaper than weekday trips. You know, Friday to Monday was cheaper than Monday to Friday, even though it's exactly the same. But it meant the upshot was I could go anywhere from Dallas on the weekend, as long as it cost approximately the same as a flight from Dallas to New York. Mm-hmm. So I used to go to lots of things. So I wound up going to TFCon when it was a very, very small, and now it's massive. I'm really impressed. I mean, they always do a good job, but you know, this year in LA in particular, it is a massive show. But yeah, the Make-A-Wish, I imagine, has grown considerably since, you know, what, 16 years ago.
Yeah, the last time I went was in 2019, right before COVID. And it's just this incredible outpouring of generosity from the fans. Like, people just like bring stuff and throw it on the table. And I love a live auction, because like it gets rowdy, it gets competitive, and it's a ton of fun. So something I've always wanted for the US TFCons was something that captures that spirit of generosity and charity in the community. So when I heard that we were doing one in LA and that it was for Bill, I mean, I obviously became incredibly excited. So Jim, you had mentioned that there were a couple items that you're contributing to the auction. If folks wanted to bring stuff, is that something that you guys are interested in, or are you soliciting stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. I've only donated a couple of items, which I mentioned, mm-hmm. but most of the stuff have been coming from either organizations like RoboSen or other Transformers creators and professionals. Like Ken Christensen has donated a couple of pieces of original art. I believe Dan Kana has as well. EJ Sue and Livio Remondelli have both pledged. I haven't seen what they're contributing, but they've both pledged. Casey Collar has pledged something. Jack Lawrence is pledging. I think he said he was pledging an original cover, which is pretty exciting.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. as an aside, I have one. You can see some original art behind
absolutely
me. Those are Matt Frank Beast Wars Uprising pieces, but I have a Jack Lawrence cover. I have the cover to the Transformers Valentine's Day special, and I've arranged to get another one from him at the con. And you know, original art, there's something really special about it. I mean, first off, it is totally completely unique. You know, as toy collectors, we often, you know, usually when we buy something, they've made thousands or tens of thousands of them, but you know, there's only one, you know, Jack Lawrence original cover to the Transformers Valentine's Day special. You know, it is one of a kind. And seeing the art, you know, of course it's all colored digitally, and pretty much, you know, other than a few UK covers from the 80s, you know, they always have been colored in some way or shape or form post production. But that means that the art itself that you get isn't something, generally speaking, that's been published in exactly that format. Occasionally you will see a select edition or something that publishes the line art, but I love seeing the line art. And sometimes you can see pencil marks that have been erased. I have a cover to a G.I. Joe vs. Transformers that has Destro and Soundwave and some of his cassettes on it, and you can see that at one point the Soundwave head was completely different and it was erased and redrawn. And I love details like that. So I'm a big original art guy. So the fact that Ken and Jack have donated some original art. I think Dan Kana has donated some original art to it. That's really cool. But absolutely, if fans want to contribute something, the more the merrier. And I think probably the best way is to reach out to me at transformerstheark@yahoo.com is the easiest, or you could reach out to me on Twitter. I'm just at Jim Sorensen, all one word, so that's pretty easy to remember. And I imagine we can throw some of this onto the web.
Yeah, so, links in the show notes, that kind of thing. So, show notes.
I'd love to hear from you. I'm going to be showing up Thursday, so okay. If you're in town early, you know, come. And I'm super easy to find. I'm walking around, and I'll probably be in a black cowboy hat. But I'm tall, I'm energetic, I'm waving my arms everywhere. So please, and this is whether or not you want to. If you want to contribute to the auction, that's awesome. And I love you and thank you. But if you just want to chat like Transformers or G.I. Joe or Inhumanoids or anything like that, GoBots, please come over. I'm there to meet people. I'm there to interact. I was saying to Mike, the cons are my Christmas. This is when I recharge my batteries and, kind of fully become alive and in the moment. And it's such a great feeling. And I love sharing that feeling with other people and hanging out with guys like Mike and Rick and Bill and everyone else and Livio and Ken, all the awesome people that are going to be there. It's a great experience. And if you're considering going to TFCon or any of the other Transformers cons and you're on the fence, go. You'll have fun. It's a very welcoming community. If you don't know people in real life, it can be a little intimidating, but it's a very friendly space. There'll be people sitting around various lobbies and restaurants with toys and books and art in front of them. So it's really easy to make a conversation. If you wear an interesting t-shirt, if you have an interesting character that you like and you're carrying it around, or if you just want to, plop yourself down next to a group, they will probably, ask your name and welcome you. It's a great environment. And I can't encourage you enough to go. And if you're already planning to go, definitely come up and say hi. That's what I like. I mean, do you remember? Well, we went out to dinner, right? One of the cons.
Yeah. So it was Chicago in 2023. And I love telling this story because it takes place in the Bill Murray Caddyshack sadness bar that it was 2022, but it was like far enough after COVID, I guess, where like the restaurants weren't open. The Visibility Bar never reopened, a husk of its former self. And so like there were a group of us convention goers that didn't quite know what to do with ourselves. So we're in the restaurant. They've called for last call. Kitchen's closed. I'm like, can I get some food? And they're like, no, but we'll serve you some drinks. I'm like, well, I guess I will drink Jack and Cokes for dinner, I guess. And then one of our friends, Caleb from Autopod Decepticast, thought to order a couple pizzas. And we're like, well, if we order pizzas and bring them in, can we eat them? Yeah, sure. Do whatever. So we got a stack of pizzas. And at one point it's like, it's me and Jim and Aaron Archer and our buddy Andy and a bunch of all of us just like hanging around, just noshing on pizzas. And if I remember correctly, this wasn't even all that late in the evening. This had to have been
I don't think it was. It wasn't like a midnight.
It was like 10. Yeah, right. Yeah, it was
earlier than it should have been.
Quite so. Yeah, that hotel just did not want us there. but fun times. That is why I go to TFCon. Like it's for friendship. I mean, sure, I love buying stuff and I like, you know, hunting for toys and getting art and exclusives. All that stuff is cool. But like I was having a conversation with my wife the other day where she's like, how many people do you know are going to be there? And I was like, well, and then it becomes like compartmentalized. I'm like, well, folks that I know through podcasting, folks I know through Twitter, folks that I actually know from knowing them. And it's, you know, it's in the dozens. You know, it's like I'm going to see so many people, you know, over that TFCon weekend. And I love your analogy of it, Jim. It's like it's rejuvenating. It's recharging. It's like Christmas time. It's like getting to hang out with all of your friends. It's almost like the end of Titanic without all of the boat sinking and all of the freezing death, but still like that scene where it's just like you open up the doors and there's all of your friends there. It's like there is nothing like it.
Yeah. It's not only a great chance to catch up with the people that you know, but it's also kind of neat to catch up with the people that you don't know, like the people that you have a glancing acquaintance with. And it's like, oh, I've definitely seen that person before, you know? Oh, mm-hmm. Yes. This person asked that question last year. You know, there's the people that are on the periphery of your social circle. And you know, it's nice. It's just a great community. So that's why I'm still in the Transformers fandom, you know, is the people who are in the fandom, because it's a really good fandom. And not every fandom is, you know, that's not a foregone conclusion. But, you know, Transformers is a really welcoming, inclusive mm-hmm. fandom. And I love it for that. And, you know, I don't know why Transformers has it in ways that, you know, other fandoms don't always, but you know, whatever it is about the property and the creators and the fans and the spaces that we've chosen mm-hmm. to inhabit, it's pretty special.
Well, and like we've talked about before, it's something about just like the nature of the concept also that just brings us together in a way that very few legacy franchises do. It's very interesting.
You know, there's a few things about Transformers that make it unique as a franchise. And I think one of them is the propensity it has to reboot itself. Mm-hmm. Beast Wars was an excellent show. But beyond that, the fact that it does serve as this soft reboot of the property and was so successful, I think really baked into the DNA of Transformers the idea that you are allowed to make a new Transformers, you know, a new comic, a new TV show, a new series of movies. You are allowed to do these jumping on points where, you know, maybe Megatron is an Autobot this time. Maybe they all turn into right. beasts this time. You know, whatever it is that you're doing, you know, maybe they all have mini-cons this time. The fact that it is willing to do that in a way that, you know, Star Trek has only really rebooted itself once. And even then they felt the need to explain how the timeline.
Yeah.
Star Wars is all, you know, I mean, yeah, they jettisoned their expanded universe stuff. But even then, like, it's sort of like all Star Wars is one Star Wars. And there's gradations. It's like, oh, well, you know, movies outrank TV, outrank video games, outrank books, outrank comics. So if there's a contradiction, which is actually very interesting, but it's still mm-hmm. sort of all this one big amorphous continuity blob. So I think the reboots make it a very accessible and friendly to newcomers, which helps the new blood come in. And I think having the newcomers and the younger blood come in is something that helps the fandom and the property stay fresh and accessible and welcoming. You know, you don't need to absorb 40 years worth of lore. You know, it's okay. You know, if you're an animated fan, Transformers starts in 2007, you know, right. and Prime 2009 and so on and so forth. Like, you don't need that level of minutia. So it cuts down on the gatekeeping in a yep. big way. I mean, you can have properties that try to avoid gatekeeping that have 30 or 40 or 50 or 80 years of lore, but I think it's harder. I think that helps. And then I think the basic concept of change, you know,
yeah.
like they transform, right? They turn from one thing into another. It's, yeah. it's right there in the name, you know? So a property that is willing to embrace change is inherently a progressive property.
And I think that helps. It's baked into the cake. I mean, like, the only other instances I can think of like that would be Doctor Who and Power Rangers, you know, where it's like, it's, you know, reboot, recycle is baked into the cake. And I really love the way that you put it, because like a franchise about change is inherently progressive. I really love that. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, no, I mean, I'm just doing compare and contrast in my mind. You know, I think, yeah. You know, one of the reasons that you see such a different, like, sort of political outlook between like Transformers fans and G.I. Joe fandom, which have on the surface level some very similar ideas and approaches. You know, G.I. Joe, I think, is inherently a conservative concept, right? I mean, these are, it's not just that they're soldiers, but, you know, they are soldiers who represent America, the world's, you know, one of two superpowers or lone superpower. You know, they are inherently anti-change, right? Like, mm-hmm. and I don't mean that in a pejorative way. I mean, G.I. Joe is about defending the status quo, and that's not inherently a bad thing at all. And I mean the G.I. Joe team in the context of the universe. They are about defending, you know, they're not revolutionaries. Whereas, you know, the Autobots, off, you know, not always in animated, they're the good, they're the victors, right? They are the government. But so often the Decepticons are in charge, or it's a stalemate and no one's in charge. But it's I'd say usually it's not the Autobots, or if it is, that's because, you know, it's some kind of a prequel project. The, you know, animated is an outlier in that regard, and an interesting one. I mean, I understand why Marty Eisenberg kind of went in that direction, right? It makes it in some ways more relatable in a post 9/11 world to have the Autobots fighting against Decepticon insurgents.
Right.
You know, that's, and it's an interesting, it's an interesting take, and I enjoy it, but it's not how it works in Transformers Prime or most Transformers G1s or the Transformers movies or, you know, various other projects.
Absolutely. Well, and I know we're going to talk about animated.
I can go way deep down the rabbit hole.
I'll bet. I had a couple comments in the chat. Brainstorm posts. I got into Transformers because of Rescue Bots. And the cool thing about Transformers is, you know, what we're kind of alluding to is that there's so many different entry points, and every entry point, every iteration is somebody else's generation one. And absolutely. It took me as a longtime fan to get around to that, because I remember feeling kind of gatekeepery about like, oh, what are these live action characters? Just, you know, name reuse. It's like, that's not Sideswipe, you know, that
there
kind
was
of
a lot of when Beast Wars came out, that was when you really started, because nobody really minded G2. I mean, some people didn't like the art in the comics or something. But I mean, it was basically just more of the same, right? I mean, Beast Wars was the first time they really went in a new direction, a very different direction. And you had fan pushback. A lot of fans embraced it, and it helped that it was really good. That a lot of people will forgive a goofy premise or even just a different premise if the quality is there. And that helps. But I gotta say, Rescue Bots is a great entry point to Transformers because, again, the quality is so high. You know, the characters are so well drawn, and it's a little different thematically, I think. You know, having the focus be on interacting with humans and environmental threats makes it just tonally very different from other Transformers shows. But because the quality of the writing and the acting and the production is so high, I mean, I can absolutely, if I was in the target age and that came on, I would think, well, this is pretty fantastic. I really dig this. And the fact that it kind of plugs into Transformers Prime at least a little bit, they do a really deft job of making it so that it feels like there's more out there, but you don't need it. It's not a prerequisite, but if you're ready to try and, well, what happens when they start punching other robots in the face, you know, that's out there and in a very linear way.
Right.
And I see absolutely. That Jobot nods at Teenage Mutant. Yeah. That's a great example. I think, and Turtles has stayed really fresh, hasn't it? I mean,
yeah,
you know, I got to do the art book for the Mutant Mayhem.
For Mutant Mayhem. Yeah.
And that was a great movie. And if I can plug my own stuff,
please.
The art book came out real nice. So if you like the movie, like buy the art book. It's one of my best, because I had so much direct studio support and access. I got to chat with the director like not once but twice. I got to do a Zoom call with Seth Rogen. I mean, it was really cool.
Oh my gosh,
it shows up on the and they're both really charming and insightful, and it winds up, you know, literally on the page. You know, we have transcripts of those interviews in there. Usually we didn't do a lot of transcripts, but for the director and for Seth Rogen, we kind of had to, and they were really good. They were really full of information and insight. But for I got to talk to like the head of cinematography and a bunch of the modelers and whatnot. And for them, we tended to use like pullout quotes. But they were really interesting and cool pullout quotes. And it was nice to be able to do all that. The Nickelodeon was enthusiastically behind the art book and it shows. So buy that. But yeah, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they keep, they're such a weird, like, needle threading property. Like, you know, the idea that an indie comic would make it big already, like the odds are, you know, 1,000 to 1 that would even happen. And then they hit it big and they, you know, they wind up big on TV and that's amazing. And then they jump to the film, live action film with the Jim Henson Company. And that's like, they just went from success to success to success. And yeah, I mean, almost all the different turtle cartoons have something like really special about them. Like the Fox Kids was kind of mine. The 87 one was a little bit late for me. Like I was kind of aging out of cartoons right around that point. You know, Transformers, I kind of kept, it was actually the comics that kept me invested. Cause right when the cartoon was ending, like Furman was kind of starting to step in and go all cosmic. And that was very interesting.
Yeah. That's when it got super metal.
Yeah, exactly.
it was in
that age range. But the Turtles I didn't quite get into. But then when the 2003 Fox Kids ones came out, I thought, well, this is really cool. And they're borrowing, especially the early seasons, they're borrowing a lot from the comics. I got into it because someone said, you know, the Leo Shredder duel where Shredder gets beheaded, that's in the cartoon. I said, no, it's not. They're like, it is. It totally is. I'm like, but they don't decapitate him. Like, no, they decapitate Shredder. It's great. I'm like, okay, I gotta watch this. So yes. Thank you, Joe Bot. I would love to, I'd love to do the art book for the sequel. Yeah. The movie was a triumph.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, I mean,
we're eating good as animation fans. I mean, it's there's some cool, innovative stuff out there for sure.
And Brainstorm says that Furman went mad with it, and he did. He
that is true.
Yeah, well, you know, clearly he wanted to be kind of be writing X-Men and superheroes, you know, to
yeah,
the point
yeah.
he wanted a bunch of mutants. And somehow it all works, you know. I mean, I love that run. You know, I mean, there was a time like now everything Transformers gets collected in the trades. Everything gets collected in the trades. But you know, it was out of print for so long, and when it finally came back, it was just those, you know, those last, you know, 12 or so issues, and they're really, really, really good. And I bought them, mm-hmm. and I was so happy to have them. You know, it's like, oh well, if this is all they ever republish of Transformers, you know, I can die a happy man. And then of course they've done the whole Marvel run in the U.S., yeah. the whole Marvel just about in the U.K. and G2 and then, you know, Dreamwave. And I mean, it's yeah. amazing what's happened with Transformers comics. I was mentioning to Mike that I just did a reread of the 2019 IDW continuity, and that's, you know, that's a fun one because the Autobots sort of are in charge, but really it's just this, you know, big multicultural, very cosmopolitan vision of Cybertron that sort of devolves into this total war that we're all familiar with. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's well drawn in every sense of the word. And mm-hmm. it was fun for me to kind of do it start to finish, you know, all over the course of, you know, 2 or 3 weeks rather than have it, you know, in dribs and drabs every couple of weeks. Right. It's a different right. experience. I think one of the criticisms was that it was slow paced, which is a fair criticism, especially for the first 12 or so issues, but it hits differently when you can read 4 or 5 at a sitting.
Right. Fair point. So we are chatting with Jim Sorensen, archivist at large for the Transformers fandom. He's done tons of stuff for IDW, the Arc books, Allspark Almanac, and then of course my favorite, the visual history of the Transformers with the Viz Media, which I am bringing to TFCon LA for you to autograph.
I'm so happy to sign that's. You know, they're like my kids. It's hard to say which is my favorite, but that's definitely a contender because, you know, most of my books, they tend to have really narrow scopes. You know, we're going to do mm-hmm. Transformers Prime. We're going to do Transformers Animated. We're going to do Transformers Box Art. That one was like everything. They're like, yeah, we want to do everything. I'm like, ooh, okay. Let me think of it. Like a lot of the work in that project in the first, I don't know, maybe 6 weeks or so was just trying to figure out like what the scope was and how to right. organize it, you know, like none of that was received. Like all of that was, you know, they said they just want to cover everything about the history of Transformers. And there's a lot of ways you could have, like strict chronological maybe, you know, I don't know, alphabetical or something, but you know, like finding a way to make it feel coherent and again have that sense of momentum. There's a little more text in that book than Legacy, but not a ton. So, but that was I kind of stand behind. Well, I should stand behind. I definitely stand behind the sort of way we organized it into you know, toys, comics, movies, video games, and toys, comics, movies, video games. What was the fifth one? And TV, television.
TV, right. So, right.
Yeah, the production art and VHS boxes and stuff.
So good. It is a literal treasure. And Joe put in, he didn't want to interrupt the flow, but he has all your books as well. He is a huge fan.
Hey, Joe, any chance you're coming to TFCon this year? Yeah, we don't have to wait for the answer, but
I was gonna say, you know what? I happen to know he's relatively close, and relatively close to you, actually, Jim. I think he's in the Vegas area. Not to dox the dude, but so Jim, we started the conversation talking about the panel that you'll be doing with Rick Alvarez. It's a live benefit auction for Bill Forster, who's collaborated with you on a number of these projects that we talked about. But before we move on to the other panel that we want to talk about, before we run out of time. I want to ask you one, how is Bill doing?
Okay. So, you know, Parkinson's is a long-term degenerative disease. So at the risk of being a cliche, you know, there are really good days and bad days. So mm-hmm. He has a really good sense of optimism isn't quite the right word, but agency. You know, like he's very much about you know, doing the things that he can do, and you know, accepting the things that he can't change. But one of the things that the benefit auction will help is that he's been auditing a class that is for mobility, because one of the best things that you can do with Parkinson's is move around, and there's a lot of like boxing classes and like dance classes and stuff like that, and some of the money is going to go towards helping him you know, be able to be in that environment. And I have a kind of funny story about that, because he was auditing the class, and it was in the process of transitioning from a Parkinson's boxing class to a more general Parkinson's you know, exercise mobility type class. And because of that, they were changing the name. Bebop Boxing was the name, and they were looking okay. for new names, and they had a couple of names on the table, and they were all kind of generic, and they were voting on it, and none of them was getting any kind of consensus or majority. And they said, "Well, Bill, do you want to vote?" And he said, "Well, I'm just auditing. I don't want to." And they said, no, you're allowed to vote. And he goes, "Well, to be totally honest, I don't love any of the names." I'm like, "Well, do you have any names?" And he thinks for a moment and he goes, I don't know if you'll like this, but the first thing that popped into my head was Movers and Shakers. And they loved it. And it got a unanimous vote. So that's they're trying to change the name to that. They had to get permission from their organization.
But sure. Like,
he hasn't lost his sense of humor about it. You know, he doesn't want to be defined by it. And I think those are all normal, you know, relatable impulses.
Gotcha. Thanks for sharing that. If folks are unable to go to TFCon LA and participate in the live benefit auction, is there any other way that folks can help?
Well, I think probably the best way is the GoFundMe that we have open. And again, I think that's something that we can put the link in the description. If you just do a Google search for GoFundMe Bill Forster, it'll pop up as well. And I for a while we had my ugly mug on there, but I think we got his on there instead. Oh, there it is in the chat. Perfect. It's you know, honestly, everything helps. And the community really has been fantastic in terms of donations of money to the GoFundMe, in terms of donations of items. Yeah, I mean, there's so many more people who've, I mean, Flint Dilly and Marty Eisenberg have pledged signed scripts of theirs. I mean, I don't want to try and list everybody because I'm sure I'll forget.
Right, yeah.
There's been a lot of interest, and it's heartwarming. It really is. I know that times can be tough, and that makes the generosity of the community even more touching, even more impressive. It's not just a great community in terms of being friendliness. It's a great community in terms of what it does, you know, the actions they take. So, and it's, I guess it's not surprising that those things go hand in hand.
Absolutely. So, yeah. So if you are in TFCon LA and you're hanging around on Friday, well, first, come to the Podcasters Roundtable at 7.
Yeah, it's going to be a good show.
Show up at 6 too, and get the other panel as well. I don't know Mike, but I'm eager to meet him. But it's going to be just this rock block of programming taking us all the way up. But yeah, we got our Podcasters Roundtable at 7. That's going to be me and Vangelis and the Autopod Decepticast guys and the Transmissions guys and More Than Meets the Pod and more than meets the ear. I mean, and folks from Swerve's Bar as well, like, you know, Trish and Josh are going to be there. It's
going to be a good time.
It's going to be a great time. And then that will lead you directly into the live benefit auction for Bill Forster, hosted by the one and only Rick Alvarez with Jim Sorensen. So before we let you go, as we wrap up, that's not the, I mean, obviously that was the focus of what we wanted to talk about tonight, but that's not the only panel that you're a part of. Before we close out here, let's talk a little bit of animated, because like I gotta tell you, this is like the A number one panel I'm excited about. That's it's gonna be happening Saturday at 5:00. It's gonna be Transformers Animated. It's gonna be deleted scenes and characters and all of that. And I didn't realize until today that Jim, you're involved with that panel as well.
Kian's been reaching out, and I've been working with him to try and identify scenes that were deleted from the show. And oftentimes at the storyboard stage, they were never actually animated, but they were written, and oftentimes they were even boarded. And when I was working on the AllSpark Almanacs, I got access to all of the storyboards. So I've been going through, and he had some leads about places where Marty had said that something had been written and then not filmed. So I've been going through the storyboard looking for those scenes that have been cut out. And when I've been finding them, I've been shooting them Kian's way, and he's been animating them up. And I think he has David Kay involved. So it's going to be pretty cool. And Eric Seibeneller has been doing new character designs for when new characters are needed for some of the, that's more less for the deleted scenes and more for the unaired season 4 episodes, but it's it's a pretty similar and related project that he's doing. But basically Kian's been really keeping the flames, you know, the Matrix flame of animated alive. And you got to love him for it. And the passion and the energy that he puts into it is really impressive. And, you know, Marty Eisenberg is going to be on that panel. So that's going to be a good time. If you're an animated fan, or if you're just kind of a fan of television production in general, because Kian's really done the research in terms of understanding, you know, what season 4 might have been. You know, there's at least two major forks for what Transformers season 4 could have been. There was Marty's initial premise, which is Black Arachnia and the Predacons as the main villains. And then there's what Hasbro kind of wanted, which is probably what, you know, closer to what would have happened, although there would have been further evolution along the way, which is Megatron relocating Kyan prison to Earth. So there's two different big takes of what season 4 could have looked like, and seeing the scenes that had been written and even boarded, but then cut out of Transformers Animated from seasons 1 through 3. All that stuff is really interesting. Even if you're not an animated fan, and if you're not an animated fan, you should be, because it's really good. But, but even if you're not, that, you know, understanding that process of TV, and Marty Eisenberg is a really insightful, intelligent, articulate guy who can take some of those really interesting but maybe esoteric concepts and make them really understandable. So, you know, having him on the panel, I think it'll be a real good time. So if you're around Saturday at 5, you should definitely check that out. It's going to be a good show, like just top to bottom, soup to nuts. Yeah. You know, they've done an amazing job. You know, they've got people from you know, all the different Transformers generations, all kinds of voice actors are going to be there. The art community, art presence there is going to be pretty impressive. Josh Perez is donating an animated goodies basket. So if you think you can outbid Kian on that, you might want to give it a try.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be some fun stuff. And Andrew Turnbull from the UK has donated some books. I have a Karen Darbo autograph, so she's in Italy, so that's a hard one to get. It's going to be a good auction. It's going to be a good time. You know, if you're anywhere in the area, you know, make the trip. Joe Bond,
yeah, absolutely.
I get that it's hard, but you know, Reno, you could drive that, you know. Think about it. I'll sign all your books. I promise.
Well, it's interesting too, and I want to underscore that because Kian has been very transparent on Twitter saying, like, yes, we're going to do the panel. It's primarily a live panel, but I mean, if anybody has seen Kian's channel, if you're not subscribed to Kian's channel, you're missing out. I mean, like his videos are terrific. His presentation is awesome. So he's going to take all of that material and consolidate it, put it together and put it out for a video that's going to be coming out later. I don't think he's doing any kind of live streaming or anything like that, but certainly the material that you guys will do live will end up being repurposed and used for more fully produced video. So don't feel left out.
Yeah, no, Kian's all about getting the material out there. You know, he's about, and I think we share a lot of those impulses. You know, it's about, you know,
yeah,
finding it, understanding it, preserving it, and then sharing it, you know, in whatever format works the best.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, it's just Joe talking about dates. If the dates worked, I would be there. If they do it again next year, I'll be there. Well, they seem to do TFCon LAs pretty often.
Yeah, usually in March. So you could maybe do a little planning ahead. But TFCon is a good time.
Absolutely. Always and every time. Jim, before we let you go, did I ask earlier, do you have a table there or are you just going to be around?
I think I'm just going to be around this time. So,
okay.
I wasn't bringing merch, and I think they're a little, not that anybody said anything, but just looking at the guest list, I'm thinking they're going to be a little bit tight this year. So, I didn't ask but I'll be around. I'm, like I said, I'm super easy to find. I'm happy to sign your books. And I might bring just a little bit of stuff and have it up in my room. So, but if I do that, I'll throw it up on my social media. So you can follow me at Jim Sorensen on Twitter, or I think just Jim Sorensen on Facebook.
Yeah.
I was in the tech sector. I got in early. I got my name on a bunch of stuff.
Nice. So, you know, TFCon is always a great hang, obviously. And we talked about two terrific can't miss panels. You know, we talked about like the vibe, but like anything else in particular you're looking forward to? Like, are there any other panels you're going to check out? Like, are you a costume contest guy? What does Jim Sorensen do at TFCon when he's not presenting?
A lot of times when I'm not presenting, I'm hanging out in the bar.
Brother.
Not even necessarily drinking, but you know, to me, the social scene is the big magnet. So I expect that I will be in the bar, in the lobby, generally making myself a party to as many conversations as I possibly can. So that's one of the things that I'll be doing. And then, you know, I gotta do some hunting. You know, I don't do a whole lot of toys. And usually when I do, I can snag them when they first come out. But you know, for me, it's art, you know, original art. I've got dozens and dozens of pieces and they all get framed and hung up on the wall. So they're not, you know, they're not gathering dust in a closet somewhere. You know, production art, you know, I'm always looking for new animation models. So, you know, the thrill of the hunt, you know, it's yeah, that, you know, ancient primal, you know, no yeah, pun intended, you know, part of the human psyche. And that's another, yeah, you know, cons like this are another good place to scratch that itch. Cause you never really know what you're going to find.
You're like a animated lockdown, just prowling the floor with the red headlights, with the heavy metal music, just following you. That's awesome. The thrill of the hunt. Well, Jim Sorensen, this is always a pleasure. I always appreciate you taking the time to join us, and we'll see you at TFCon.
Absolutely.
All right. And folks, that's it for now. I will also be getting in on Thursday, so I will be available and approachable. I'm going to take Andy's idea of getting like Staples name tags that just say, hi, I'm Mike Seibert on there. And I'll have Mike Seibert Radio Podcast buttons and Two Mics, Two Furious buttons to hand out to folks. just say, oh, hey, are you Mike Seibert? Yes, I am. Here's a button. So I am very approachable. And like Jim was saying, I'm going to be spending most of my time in bars and lobbies as well as a few of those panels that we talked about as well. But man, we will see you at TFCon. That is going to be next weekend, March 8th through the 10th at the Los Angeles Marriott Burbank Airport. And Airport Hotel and Convention Center. That's what it is. It's a mouthful, but man, we'll see you in a couple weeks in Burbank. And until next time, make your choices.
Nice. Right.
Mike Seibert Radio is recorded in Seattle, Washington. Our original theme song is written and performed by Lucia Fasano. Get her music on all streaming platforms like Spotify and Apple Music, including her groovy new single, Habitable Planets. Check out her Instagram at Lucia_Fasano. Our closing theme is A Nice Place to Visit by These Young Fools, used with permission from Michael Geisler. Check out Michael's website, bytormusic.com. Special thanks to Andy Lita for our logos and graphic design. He is at GoGoAndyRobo out on Twitter. Become a Mike Cybertronian and join the MSRP Friends and Fans Facebook group. And you can follow me on social media at Mike Seibert Radio on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Want to be a guest on the show? Send me an email, MikeSeibertRadio@gmail.com.
Hi, it's me, Bill. I don't know what to say. I am without words. I'm speechless. But I'm going to try anyway. Whether you contributed to the GoFundMe or whether you bid on the auction or just spread the word or took time to just DM me and ask how I was doing, I really, really appreciate each and every one of you and what you've done for me. Since my diagnosis, I've slowly been losing the use of my hands, which has taken away my ability to create art and to handle animals, which, as many of you know, is not only my passion, but how I make my livelihood. So I've been in a financial hole that just keeps getting deeper and deeper while I figure this out and figure out my treatment. And what you people have done is pulled me out of that hole and really help me beyond what you can imagine. I'm so touched and so in awe of each and every one of you. I love each and every one of you. Thank you so much. When Jim Sorensen first told me he was doing this, I thought, who's going to contribute to this? Nobody's going to contribute to this. And then as it started picking up, I thought, wow, maybe I'll make a couple of dollars and it'll help me out a little bit. But you've raised so much money that it has helped me out of my issues so greatly, so vastly, that I am just dumbfounded. Thank you so much. What a wonderful community. You've always been good to me. And, like I said, I love each and every one of you. And I'm going to end it here because I'm about to cry. Thank you so much. And as always, up the irons.